A light has dawned. You, O God, have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar that across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and on over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the fulfillment of the prophecy is taken from the historian Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 to 32, at the presentation and consecration of Jesus. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Thanks, Peter. All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you. Hope it's been a great morning. Any like really early mornings this morning? Who got up at 4 a.m.? Was anyone up at 4 a.m.? 4:30. Anyone beat 4:30? No, at 5 a.m. Yeah, at the back. All right, 6 a.m. 7 a.m. All right, it's getting like sleeping territory. That's pretty good. Well done. All right. Well, I'm not sure about you, but for me, it doesn't really feel like it's Christmas until I've seen some Christmas lights. Does anyone else kind of feel that way? It doesn't really feel like Christmas until you see those brightly decorated houses. There's just something about them that, for me, kind of just helps the stress and the weight of the year that's been just stay behind, kind of start sliding off my shoulders. And I think the reason is this. I think, for me, Christmas lights show that change is coming. They show that change is coming. The new year is approaching. There's a time of rest and relaxation that's almost upon us, at least for some of us. Just really sorry, parents. But for some of us, a time of rest and relaxation. But there is this opportunity at the end of the year to sort of do a bit of a factory reset, isn't there? Before the new year hits, before we start it all again. An opportunity to stop and think, what can I do to make next year different to this one? See, with Christmas lights, there's a sense of expectation. There's a hope of what Christmas Day and beyond might hold for us. But I doubt anyone in this room has had the same response to Christmas lights as the elderly man Simeon, who in Luke chapter 2, he sees what he would describe as the greatest display of Christmas lights in the world. He's so full of joy and hope at what's to come that Simeon says to God, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, I'm ready to die in peace." That's what he's saying. I don't think any of us have ever responded that strongly to Christmas lights. No, I haven't. But Simeon knows that change is coming. Actually, he knows that change has come. And it's not just change that impacts the present, but change that impacts his eternity, even after death. See, light is exactly what Simeon is rejoicing at as he looks down at Jesus. In Isaiah 9 verse 2, we read this. Captain Walker de Planck helped us see it. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Now, as Simeon responds to seeing Jesus in Luke chapter 2 verse 31 to 32, he knows that light has appeared. And he praises God and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon is full of joy and hope at what's to come, at the change that is here. And is full of joy and hope at what is to come because he recognizes that the world is lost in darkness. But he sees the light of the world who can lead us out of it. And this Christmas Day, I hope that this is something we can all celebrate together. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." If you've been with us over the last few weeks, you would have heard us speaking about the different titles for Jesus that we see in Isaiah 9. Well, this morning we're reminded that Jesus is our wonderful counselor who can guide us out of the dark. It's a thing to remember this morning. Jesus is our wonderful counselor who can guide us out of the dark. To help us think through this, we're going to look at three things briefly this morning. We're going to look at, firstly, a faulty sense of direction. Then we're going to look at a wonderful counselor who knows the direction to go. And finally, we'll look at following the light of Jesus this Christmas. Firstly, a faulty sense of direction. George and I went to 9th Avenue in St. Peter's last December to see the Christmas lights. Anyone else kind of done that? Yeah, there's a massive Grinch there this year. It's kind of terrifying, but it's worth checking out. It's pretty good. But we went there last December. Now, the lights were incredible. If you haven't been there, you should check it out. All down the street, there's just this swarm of people looking at all the time and effort that others have put into decorating their houses with these beautiful lights. And at this time of year, 9th Avenue is just packed with people, so we had to park a while away on another street and kind of walk in. Now, George made a terrible mistake that night. She doesn't actually make mistakes, all right, but she made a mistake that night. After we'd walked to the end of 9th Avenue, George let me try to direct us back to where the car was, which if you know me, that's... At this stage, she was still learning that I have the worst sense of direction of anyone she knows. She doesn't make that mistake anymore, right? It's all good. Now, I know this about myself, and anyone with my problem and two brain cells probably would have just used Google Maps, but not this time for me. Instead, I chose to follow my own sense of direction, which turned out to be very faulty. It wasn't long before we were wandering around, lost in the darkness of the surrounding streets, all because I followed my faulty sense of direction. Now, I said before, Simeon recognizes that the world is lost in darkness. And this is why. Everyone follows their own faulty sense of direction. This is something Simeon knows well. Only we don't wander away from Christmas lights. Instead, we wander away from God's, meaning that we fail to walk the direction God points and become lost because we follow our own sense of direction. Now, the word the Bible uses to describe doing this is called sin. Now, the reality Simeon recognizes is that we are all lost in the dark. And I'm not sure if we observe the world around us that we can say he's wrong, with war and violence and oppression and evil and death and hunger and pollution, all these sorts of things happening. Like, none of these things should exist. And yet they do. See, darkness is all around us. But even more than that, it's inside of us. There's envy and gossip and selfishness and hatred. We just can't escape it. We've chosen to follow our own faulty sense of direction. So knowing this, what could cause Simeon such joy and hope despite the darkness that's in the world and inside people as well because of sin? Well, point two, he sees his wonderful counselor who knows the direction to go. He knows that change is here. See, in his own two hands, Simeon holds the solution, doesn't he? The key to the mess, the light in the darkness. He holds a child who was promised 700 years before by the prophet Isaiah in that first passage that was read out this morning. See, finally the wait is over. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. The first thing to notice here is that the government sits on his shoulders. This means that in terms of who is in charge in the world, Jesus sits at the top. In Isaiah 9:7, we read that he's the king of justice and righteousness. He's the king with a government and with a peace that will never end. He's a king who reigns forever. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord of all. Now, in a king who works the way the world works, would look at people who've walked away from him as we have from God, and that would kind of be it, wouldn't it? Like, why would a king want people in his kingdom who were just going to rebel against him? No king would want that. Instead, those people would be punished for their crimes, would be thrown into a prison cell. They'd be locked in the dark forever. But Jesus doesn't work the way our world works. He didn't arrive bringing judgment. He arrived bringing hope. And this is the second thing to notice. Jesus isn't a distant reigning king who doesn't care about us. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. It's a weird term, isn't it? Wonderful counselor. But the world is full of counselors. There's many people who are ready to give advice, to offer wisdom, who are ready to tell us how to live, what you should do, especially when it comes to trying to get ahead in life. In the time of history that Isaiah chapter 9 occurred, the tribe of Judah from Israel was in exactly that kind of situation. There was an army crouching at their doorstep. They were wondering who they should turn to help them in their crisis. And to Isaiah's great bewilderment, though not at all to God's surprise, Judah followed their own sense of direction, turning to the supposed wisdom in the dark that just led them further away from God. The result being that they wandered in darkness with great distress. They were convinced that the solution to their problem was found apart from God, and so they strayed into the dark. And we do the same. We're not faced with an army outside the walls, but the many different voices are there for us too, offering advice and wisdom on how to get ahead in life, on how to get what we want, on how we should act, what we should believe. And if we're honest, we've listened to those voices. We've responded to God the same way Judah did, by not following his direction, but following our own. Those voices commanding our attention, they point to things like money or relationships or career and power and recognition. And the supposed wisdom of the world says, there's the direction you should go to live your best life now. Those are the things you need. But the direction we need to be pointed is God. God desired good for his people, Judah, and they ignored him and chose what seemed good to them. Again, a ruler who works the way the world works would have cut people like this off long ago, but instead of doing that in Isaiah 9 verse 1, when it was his right to do so, we all read it, God made a promise that though we walk in darkness, God promises that nevertheless there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. And why? Because the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Because to the people walking in darkness, a child has been born, one who is called Wonderful Counselor. See, in a world full of voices that will counsel and instruct and guide and promise falsely, Jesus arrives as the only voice that can guide people out of the darkness and back to God if they listen to him. You know, George and I, we realized how far we'd wandered in those dark streets near 9th Avenue, but only when we tried to get our bearings. See, as we looked up, we saw those brightly lit Christmas lights in 9th Avenue still shining really strongly. And that light showed us two things. The first thing it showed us is that we were really lost. The second thing it showed us was the way back. As Simeon looked down at the infant in his arms who was born the very first Christmas, he saw the light God sent into the darkness to show us the way back. That's the third thing, following the light of Jesus this Christmas. If there's one thing to remember this Christmas, it's that Jesus is our wonderful counselor who can guide us out of the dark. You too can turn to him and see God's salvation for you. And actually, you need to. You need to. See, when Jesus grew up, he said this about himself in John chapter 8, verse 12. It should be on the screen behind me. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, it's a really big statement, isn't it? What Jesus is saying. And if Jesus couldn't back this up, then there'd be absolutely no reason to listen to him this Christmas, would there? Absolutely no reason to listen to him. But not long after this, Jesus went to a cross and died. And then 3 days later, he rose again. See, Jesus shows us that we can trust what he says because he proves it. Jesus went to the darkest place there is, into death, and he faced the judgment of God we all deserve because of our rebellion against God, and he did that for us. And then he rose again to eternal life, showing us that he really is God's salvation. He really is the light of the world. See, there are many voices in this world who seek to tell us what to do, what to believe, how to act, and where to find purpose. There is only one voice that does so from the other side of the grave, having defeated death, and it's Jesus, our wonderful counselor, calling us to turn from our own faulty sense of direction to trusting that he is the one who can save us and the only one who can save us. Simeon looks down at Jesus and he knows that change has come. Not just change in this present life, but change forever. And so he can face the darkest part of life, death, with a smile on his face, because he knows he has the light of life on the other side of it, because he has Jesus. Is that something you can say this Christmas? And now, we all approach Christmas from different backgrounds and histories. For some, Christmas is just one giant celebration. For others, it's a really difficult time of year that holds memories that are actually really hard to stomach and that can be really lonely and tiring. But know this Christmas, as you drive home past houses decorated with Christmas lights, or as you walk down their long and brightly lit streets, that the light who entered this world on that very first Christmas has no comparison. Don't let the gifts, the food, and the celebrations keep you from remembering this truth. If you haven't yet, it's time to respond to that light, because the opportunity to do so won't be there forever. So don't risk staying lost in the dark streets because you'd rather trust your own sense of direction. Now, if you have questions or would like to learn more about the hope that Simeon had, we'd love to help you in that. We'd love you to ask those questions. Please look into our Hope Explored course. It's free, totally free. You don't need to know anything. You're not going to be asked to do anything like pray or sing. It places absolutely no expectations on you. Instead, it just provides a safe space to listen and to ask questions about Jesus. If you're curious about this course, we'd love to hear from you. There's a little QR code on the back of the leaflet you were handed as you walked in. You can just scan that code. You can find out more about Hope Explored. You can sign up for it there as well. But either way, if even just a small part of you thinks you have glimpsed a light that you haven't noticed before, don't ignore it. We'd love to talk to you about that. But for all of us here, as we head out to Christmas Day, let's remember and celebrate this Christmas that Jesus really is our wonderful counselor who can guide us out of the dark and into the light of true and lasting life. We can celebrate and rejoice along with Simeon. Now, before we sing and pray and then head out into our Christmas days, let me lead us in prayer as we talk with our wonderful counselor. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you that you're a God who looks at people like us and chooses to love us. You're a God who came into a broken and dark world to show the way back to relationship with you. And we praise you for your Son Jesus, for his birth into this world 2,000 years ago, the light in the darkness. We pray for all of us that we would remember this Christmas our great need for him, and to look to him, and to live by his light, going in your direction, Lord, not following our own sense of direction. I pray you would help us in this and help us continue thinking through what this means for us today. Amen.